We want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight to Waldo Baptist Church and our Bible study this evening. We're going to be in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. If you want to go ahead and turn there, you're watching online and the folks that are here in the auditorium this evening. I visited Brother Steve Heine and his family, and Sue is in hospice care in Lourdes Hospital. I want to especially remember that family in our prayers tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for so great a salvation. Thanking you that when you chose us before the foundation of the earth, you had mercy and grace upon us. Now, through your grace and mercy, and by the power of your Spirit and the sacrifice of your Son, we are now a child of God. We give you praise and glory because of who you are, because of your purpose and plan, knowing that you, as an almighty sovereign God, will fulfill every promise, every word of Scripture that you've ever given, because that's who you are. We lift up the Heine family to you tonight. Pray for them, that you'd give them grace and comfort. Watch over them, as well as each of those on our prayer list that are sick and hurting, those that are struggling with cancer, those, Lord, that are having surgery or recovering from surgery, those that are just lonely and depressed and maybe living in anxiety. Lord, we pray for all of them, all of our shut-ins, all those that aren't able to come tonight. We lift them up to you. We pray, Father, that as we look at your word tonight, you might speak to our hearts through your word, that we might both be encouraged and challenged, to live a life that is pleasing to you. Father, I pray that you'll give me wisdom tonight, that you'll give me an understanding, lead me by your Spirit, that which we share tonight will be what you want us to share, and Lord, that you'll be glorified through it. We pray for Sunday service already, that you'll bless Brother Nate, you'll bless those that teach, and Lord, that you'll be glorified, the church will be edified, and we pray if the lost will be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing upon your word as we share it together tonight, and we thank you for everyone that's here and everyone that's watching online. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. All right, tonight we are back in the third chapter, and there's some things that I want to say about this that we didn't share on Sunday. And the first thing I want to say and share with you is when we talk about, and it talks about that the Old Testament prophets and all through the New Testament, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not a 24-hour period. The day of the Lord is a term that is used that is at least 1,007 years in length. Because when we talk about the day of the Lord, we're talking about a time, not only of the second coming of Christ, but we're talking about judgment upon the earth. Peter talks about the day of the Lord in this third chapter of the book of 2 Peter. But we realize that what he's talking about here is a time when this earth and this whole universe will be destroyed. A time when everything that is material shall dissolve and disappear in fervent heat by the power of God. And so we realize that we're talking about, when we look at this chronologically, We're talking, if you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture and the catching up of the saints before the tribulation period, you're talking about the rapture. You're talking about 7 years of tribulation. And then you're talking about the millennium kingdom. So we have at least a 1,007-year period before we get to what Peter's talking about here in the third chapter of the book of 2 Peter, which is the end of human history, the end of everything as we know it. The end of everything as we know it. Because God is saying here, and as he does in Revelation, I am creating a new universe with a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And so we see through the scriptures here, as we look at it, we keep in mind that we're talking about, when we say the day of the Lord, we're not talking about a 24-hour period. We're talking about a time when judgment begins, and then we're talking about the end of that period of time, which is at least 1,007 years, when God will bring final judgment and destroy everything that he has created. And that is, my brothers and sisters, the beginning of what we know of as eternity, with new heavens and a new earth. There was no word in the Hebrew for universe. So they say heavens. So in the third chapter of Peter, when it says, the heavens shall disappear with a roar, it's talking about the universe and everything within it will disappear with a roar. And so there's some things that we want to look at, and I'm going to begin in chapter 3, verse 1, to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. All right, so first of all, let's hesitate right here for a minute so you get a picture of what's going on. Peter is writing to these Christians that are scattered throughout the five provinces that he's writing to in these churches. And he knows they're undergoing severe persecution. And he knows that everybody, as he has written in his first letter, and as these Christians know and believe, Christ is coming again. Well, as he's writing to them, he knows they're being ridiculed because they're talking about the return of Christ. As many people would ridicule you if you're talking about the return of Christ and the end of the world as we know it. People will laugh. People will say, well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. People will say, well, how can you believe that? So they were facing ridicule. They were facing chastisement, persecution, every kind of trial that you can think of. They were going through it. So what's he telling? This is now the second letter. Now he'd written 1 Peter, and this letter must have been shortly after the first letter that he wrote, I'm writing to you now the second letter, as he's writing to them. And he says to them, I want to stir up your minds. I want to stir up your minds to remember what you were taught. And that's a good thing for us too, right? That God wants to stir up our minds to remember what we have been taught by the Word of God. He said, first of all, I want to stir up your minds to remember what the prophets have written. That's the Old Testament. Then he said, I want to stir up your minds to remember what the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ said. That's the New Testament. So he wanted to stir up their minds. Don't you need to do that sometimes? I have to. I look at the world around me, and I can bring it down to a single thing when I talk about this. I can bring it down to a single thing. I went to the Lourdes Hospital today, and I visited in the hospice room there with Steve and the family, and there was Sue lying in a bed. And Steve told me, he said, I've picked out this picture of her. And it was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely glorious. And how I remember her, okay? And then I see her lying there in that bed in a fetal position. And you look at that and you say, this is a small sample of our world today. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this is a second law of thermodynamics. Everything on earth, everything that has been created is disintegrating. I had surgery on my back about 2 years ago now, I guess it was. And they cut out some stuff in my back. And then I went back to the doctor the other day because I was getting some more neuropathy in my feet. And I went back to him. He said, let's do another x-ray and test and just see if anything's changed since you had your back surgery. I said, okay. So they did. So I went back to the doctor. This is what he told me. He said, no, nothing's really changed. He said, you're just disintegrating. He said, that's what an 80-year-old man does. He says, your bones begin to become brittle and they begin to come apart and they begin to lose their form. And gradually, over time, they disintegrate. So you're just a normal 80-year-old man, disintegrating. I said, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Doc. Really glad I came today. So that is a second law of thermodynamics. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with trying to, if you drive an electric car because you don't want emissions and you want to do everything you can to support the ecosystem and you want to have everything that you can and you recycle everything and you do everything you can to keep the earth as it should be, you go right ahead. But I've got bad news for you. You can't save it. You cannot save it. God has already written it down. And it is disintegrating. And it will keep on disintegrating until it is no more. That's the second law of thermodynamics. That's the way this world is. You say, well, why are you telling me this? I'm telling you that because I look at the world around me and God has to stir up my mind so I don't look at that, but I look at the world that is to come. I look at what God is going to do. And I think in my imaginations that I cannot even begin to grasp what it means when it says God is going to create a new universe and a new earth and a new Jerusalem and everything. Behold, I make all things new. Because when I think about that, instead of what I see on earth in the second law of thermodynamics, I feel better about it. Because I know I belong to Him. And so what you and I need to do is stir up our minds. Stir up our minds into the Word of God. And we need to see that God has a purpose and a plan in all of this, in everything that will be carried out according to His Word and His power and His promises. And while we're still here, I'm disintegrating daily, but I have a chance to share the gospel while I'm disintegrating. So, John, you got a birthday coming up. This man informed me that he now is on Medicare. Praise the Lord for Medicare. Ain't God good? There you go, brother. Well, I can say to you, Thank God you are, and while you have time, share the gospel. Tell people about Jesus Christ, because all of this is going away. So he said, I am stirring up your minds because I want you to recall. I want you to remember what you've already been taught, what I've already shared with you, so you can overcome what? The trials that you're going through. And all of us, no matter who we are going through some kind of trial. We're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready to go in a trial. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in this world in which we live. That's the way it is. So he's saying, I'm stirring up your minds. I'm giving you recall so that you can make it through these trials that's coming in your life. Because what God has planned for you is out of this world. It is unbelievable. Making all things new. So that's what he's talking about. That's his first argument to them here in chapter 3 in these first two verses that you see here. Then in verse 3 he says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days. Now what's the last days? We've been in the last days ever since Jesus Christ came. Since Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, this is the last days, my friend. Somebody says, when do you think will be the last days? We're in them. They're here. These are the last days. And so this is what he's talking about. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, you remember how long ago he was writing to them? In the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Now, why did he put that in there, their own evil desires? Because their motivation for not believing in the second coming of Christ is they don't want to be judged. They want to live any way they want to live without facing judgment for the way they live one day. As soon as they say, yes, I believe Jesus is coming again, they are saying, yes, I know judgment is coming. Because he's not coming like a lamb, he's coming like a lion. This is what he's talking about when he says they follow their own evil desire. They will say, verse 4, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And that isn't true, is it? I hear people saying, people have said to me, well, why would you believe something like that? I can't believe God's going to destroy this earth and everything in it. He's already done once. He killed everybody on the planet except 8 people. Most people figure it was between 10 million and 100 million people. At that time. So God killed maybe 100 million people and left 8. You don't mess with God. You know, even some Christians got this crazy idea about the old man upstairs. That's a blasphemy in the nostrils of a holy God. Do you realize who he is? He spoke this world into existence, and he can take it out the same way. All he has to do is say the word. The God that you serve, the God that saved your soul, the God that you belong to is magnificent. He is all powerful, all powerful. There is not anything he cannot do. The only reason this earth is still here is he allows it to be. They deliberately, verse 5, they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of the water and by the water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. All right, now what is he talking about when he says it was formed out of the water and by the water? When he's talking about a time before Noah's, before the flood came and Noah was in the ark, that the earth's ecosystem was totally different. The earth had a shroud of water around it. That's why it never had to rain. Every night the mist came down and watered everything. And so there was a shroud of water around the earth. It was formed in the water and out of the water. So there was water in the earth and there was water around the earth at that time. At that time. Do you realize how people lived to be 400 or 500 years old? They lived to be 400 or 500 years old because there was no ultraviolet rays coming down bombarding the earth from the sun, because it was a totally different ecosystem in that day than it is today. You didn't have tornadoes. You didn't have hurricanes. You didn't have storms. You didn't have these wild swings and fronts coming through and all this thing. Didn't even need weathermen. The weather was perfect. Because God made it that way. And it stayed that way. Until what? Until he decided to destroy the whole earth, everybody on the earth, by water. And when that happened, it all caved in. The water that surrounded the earth came down, and the water that was in the earth came up. You say, well, how in the world could God do that? Because of God. He just had to say the word. So we see what he's talking about. Now look at verse 7. By what? By the same word. Whose word? God's word. By the same word. The present heavens and earth are reserved for what? Fire. By that same word, God's word. The only reason that this earth is still in existence today is because God said so. Reserved for fire. Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Being kept by the word of God until God says, let judgment fall. And that's going to start during the tribulation period. It's going to start during the tribulation period. And my brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what I think. It's probably worth not much. But I look at our world today and I look at the natural disasters that are happening across our world today, and I look at the state of California, which is the most liberal place on the face of the earth, and that place is going up like a tinderbox. God is absolutely burning it up. You say, well, how did God start a fire? All he had to do is take one lightning strike. That's how the last fire started. God just simply says, poof, there it goes. All God has to do is say, it's not ever going to rain again. And it would never rain again. And this whole earth would be a famine. People would starve to death, just like it talks about in the book of Revelation. This is an easy thing for him to do. Because what? Because it's kept by his word. It is kept by his word. So it will not happen until he says so. Until he says so. All right, now he is going, has anybody got a question? Oh, good. Probably couldn't answer it anyway. Verse 8, but do not forget this one thing. Here's their argument. What was their argument? Well, the world just keeps going on. It always has, always will. Nothing's ever going to change. Well, what'd they do? They don't want to think about what happened during the flood. Everything just goes on like it always has. That's what everybody that, every scientist would tell you that is not a Christian that has never accepted Christ. Everything just going to go on like it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's all coming apart right now. It's just a matter of time. God's time. If you're watching online, what you need to know is Jesus Christ died in your place on a cross 2,000 years ago. Yeah, 2,000 years ago. And took all your sin on himself so that you could repent of your sin and place your faith in him and become a believer in Christ and be born from above and become a child of God and experience a new heaven and a new earth. Because why is God waiting? He's waiting for all the elect to be saved. And that's what we'll see here in the Word of God. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. What's he saying? With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. It's not that the Lord cannot keep his promise. Not that the Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but every one of his elect, if we're going to read it right, to come to repentance. To come to repentance. I believe I mentioned this last Sunday, but there I should have looked it up before I came, but I've been running all day. In fact, I tell you what's going to happen tonight. I'm already tired. When I get too tired and I don't want to teach anymore, I'm going to pray and we're going home. That's what's going to happen. Okay? Just let you know. So, God is an eternal God. I think I mentioned this last Sunday, but it's with God, it's always now. Because he knows everything past and everything future now. So when we talk about God, 1,000 years is nothing to him. 2,000 years is nothing to him. It's now. Because he is an eternal God from everlasting to everlasting. In the beginning, God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. In the beginning of everything as we know it, God. That's how it is. In the beginning, he created everything. And all that is coming to an end. And that's what we're reading about right here. So the second argument that they had, Peter is saying to the Christians, to the churches, he's saying, what they don't realize is God, every time, everything is now. Time doesn't matter to him. In fact, the only reason he hasn't done this already is because all of those he chose before the foundation of the earth have not all come to repentance and faith yet, so he's waiting until they do. Because that's his plan. That's his purpose. You say, well, I don't like that plan. Care less whether you like it or not. God don't care if you like it. He's God. You're not. I read things that's in the Bible sometimes and I say, I don't like that. And he says, I don't care if you like it or not. That's the way it is. Now, if Kay says, I don't like that, that's a different story. I'll try to do something about that. But you don't change what God is going to do. And he doesn't change his mind. Okay. Now, Verse 10. Here's the promise. But the day of the Lord will come. Peter writes to them and he says, the day of the Lord will come. And then he repeats like a verse there in Matthew. And he repeats the places of Scripture. Like a thief. Like a thief. You know, when I grew up in Brookport, Illinois, the big town of Brookport, we didn't lock any of our doors. We played outside till it got dark. And Mom and Dad made us come in. We played all over Brookport. They didn't worry about us. Kay says, are you coming to bed? This is between the time of 9:30 and 10 o'clock every night. 9:30 and 10 o'clock. You say, well, won't you stay up later? I don't want to. Won't you go to bed earlier? I don't want to. So it's always between 9:30 and 10 o'clock every night. And she says, are you coming to bed? And I say, as soon as I check every door. And I'll walk to every door and I'll grab hold of the thumb lock and I'll grab hold of the other lock and I'll make sure they're both locked. I touch every one of them every night before I go to bed to make sure they're all locked. Why? Because in this world, the second law of thermodynamics is taking place and people's lives all around us is disintegrating, and that's why people are shooting people in schools and churches and everywhere else, because our world is disintegrating all around us and our world is in chaos, and the people that live in Washington can't understand what's going on. It's not a political problem, it's a heart problem. And that's what's wrong with a lot of them. I'll be censored on online now. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And notice, heavens, I talked about that last Sunday. That's their word for universe. The whole, can you imagine? I mean, Paul and Rance and I had lunch together the other day, and we sat in there talking. Paul said, scientists say they've discovered 10,000 more stars than they knew existed before. And I'm thinking about, wow, golly, gee whiz, 10,000 more stars. I look at the Milky Way and I think how many light years away it is and everything else. Now you're telling me there's 10,000 more stars out there they just discovered they didn't know about before. And God said, oh, don't worry about it, son. He said, I'm going to get rid of all that. I'm going to make a new one. I was going to make one like I wanted. I'm going to make all things new. So when I go to the doctor and he says, your back's disintegrating. I say, that's all right, doc. God's going to make me a new one. I don't even need this back where I'm going. Oh, by the way, I won't need you either, doc. That's the best part of the whole thing. Well, he's a pretty nice guy, though. The heavens will disappear with a roar. And I was reading MacArthur on this, and he says it's like a fire crackling or a whizzing noise. It's going, whew, and it's going to be gone. You say, well, how can it go, whew, and everything be gone? What were they so afraid of when they made an atomic bomb? Aha. Uh-huh. They were scared to death that when they divided an atom and started nuclear fission, it never would stop. Everything on Earth and in the universe would be destroyed. That's what they were afraid of. Yeah? It looks like it's going to happen. You realize all that God has to do is say, begin. and start splitting atoms, and everything in this universe will disappear. That car you got that you cried over when you got your first scratch on it, huh? Yeah. You know, John, this really encourages a guy 80 years old. Because I look in the mirror and I say, whoo, man, this is tough. God says, don't worry about it, son. I'm going to make you new. I've already made you new inside. I'm talking about outside. I'm going to make you a new outside. And I say, thank you, Jesus. And Kay says, well, thank you twice, Jesus. Because he sure needs it. The heavens will disappear and they're gone. Look at this. The elements, the very basic building box, building blocks of all matter is going to disappear. When I went to college, I studied chemistry and biology and physics. And there was two laws, used to be two laws. One that matter cannot be destroyed, and the other that matter cannot be created. Well, they figured out how to destroy matter when they split the atom. But they listen, brothers and sisters, ain't nobody can make something out of nothing. But God, destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. We were at the doctor today. I've been to two doctors, one hospital, one pharmacy, and a lab today. Not a lab like a dog, a lab like they take blood out of your arms. Okay. I've been to all those old places. My wife looks at me, we're sitting there in the waiting room at the rheumatoid, rheumatologist office, and she said, you need new tennis shoes. I said, no, I don't. She said, yeah, you need new tennis shoes. Those don't look too good. I say, look good to me. Huh? You see anything wrong with them? Look all right, don't they? Huh? Look all right to me. Huh? What's the tennis shoes got to do? That's a good question. That's a good question. Because everything in it, including these tennis shoes, is going to be destroyed. I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about it. Good question, Brigida. That's the best question I've had in a while. All right. Good Lord, I've already gone to. All right. Now here's a kicker right here. Because now he's going to start talking to them and he's going to start talking to you about what's really important, okay? Since everything will be destroyed, I mean everything, including my tennis shoes, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And actually, I was reading MacArthur on this too, and if you go to the original language, it's not a question, but it's more of a statement. Since, what you got on there, Jason? Now, them look like shoes. Since them shoes and everything you ever own and everything on this planet and everything in the universe is going to be destroyed, how should we be living? Should we be telling people about Jesus Christ? Should we spend more time praying than we do, oh, this hurts me, watching ball games? Whew. Should we be spend more time in the Word than we do watching TV? Oh. You see, I can get away talking like this because I'm old. I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to be closer to heaven today than I was yesterday. So it don't matter what I say. I'm telling you the truth. What kind of people should you and I be? Godly. Witnesses. Living, as Brother Roy Douglas used to say to me before we'd go on visitation, "Brother, are you prayed up? Brother, are you walking your talk?" Because if you're not walking your talk and you're not prayed up, he'd say, "There's no use us going." You know why I loved him and Ed so much? They were plain spoken people. I talk to somebody and they just talk about, it's like a god-awful windstorm and leaves blowing everywhere and you got all this stuff flying around and you ain't got a clue what they're saying. But I talked to Brother Ed and Brother Roy, man, I knew exactly what they were saying. He said, "You better be prayed up and you better walk your talk." I knew exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. I don't even know why I brought that up, but it sounded good. I'm supposed to be walking my talk. I'm supposed to be living the life that God saved me for, that he sent his son to the cross to save an old worm and a wretch like me for. That's what I am to be doing with my life. And so are you. You know, we had church last Sunday night. A lot of people didn't know we would, because a lot of times if it's a holiday, we don't have Sunday night service. I'm going to blame it all on Nate. It was my call because I was the one teaching. Yeah, it was my call because they called me and said, "We're going to have Sunday night service." And I'm thinking, I remember what Nate said. "This is the Lord's day." I said, "I'm not giving him half a day." I said, "This is the Lord's day. We're having church Sunday night." And that's just a minuscule thing. But it is right, isn't it? And it is right that when I live my life over in West Paducah, close to Bubba and Bonnie, that they see Christ in me. And I better see Christ in them, because I'll holler at them if they don't. But isn't that right? Because it's all coming to an end. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? The past is gone. Tomorrow may never come. But are you looking forward to what God has promised? Are you looking forward to what God is going to do? You know, my dad, some of you knew my dad. He lived to be almost 93. I'd visit him in the nursing home. I'll tell you a little story. I mean, I can. I'm 80 years old and I got 12 minutes. I'd buy my dad Cokes. I had him a little refrigerator in his room in the nursing home, and I'd buy him Cokes and I'd fill it up with Cokes. Now, I'd go in there and there wasn't no Cokes, and I'd think, my gosh, how can Cokes in this man drink? I'd go get another case of Cokes, and I'd bring it back, go back 3 or 4 days later, whole case is gone. I'm thinking, good Lord. I'm thinking, this man, he ought to be I know you can clean batteries of that stuff. He ought to be petrified or something. And I go up to the nurse's desk, and they said, we sure like your dad Cokes. I said, what? She said, yeah, everybody goes in his room or walks by, he hollers at him and says, come in here and get you a Coke. Come in here and get you a Coke. That was my dad in a nutshell. He'd talk to a fence post and expect it to talk back. But he always said, son, I can't understand why the Lord hadn't taken me home yet. I'm looking forward to it. I said, well, Dad, I guess he's got a purpose for you here. If he didn't, he would have. Well, son, I'm looking forward to it. And when I was young and he was old, I was thinking, Dad, you don't need to rush things. I want to tell you something. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I cannot even imagine in my wildest dream what a seraphim looks like. Can you? Six wings, full of eyes, all-knowing, surrounding the throne of God, and these cherubim are there, and these seraphim are there. These seraphim are creatures. If a seraphim came in this room right now, he'd probably fill up that end of it, and we'd all fall face down on the floor, afraid to even look up. And he ain't nothing compared to my God. He just serves my God. With two wings, he covers his feet. With two wings, he covers his face. And with two wings, he's ready to serve. And they surround the throne of God and they cry, holy, holy, holy. Separate, separate, separate is the Lord God Almighty, day and night, night and day. Holy, holy, holy. Separate, separate, separate. Separate from what? I'm telling you, my friend, separate from everything. Separate from everything. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to it. And as I go through my life here, and as you go through your life here, look forward. Look forward to what a righteous king is coming. A righteous king is coming. And when that righteous king comes and he sets down on this earth, all hell's going to break loose and run from him. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the mount is going to split in two. And my Jesus is going to land on earth and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then the Father's going to say, son, let's make it all new. Let's just make it all new. Let's make everything new. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. As I visited that family today and I looked at Sue, I thought, boy, is she looking forward to it. My goodness, is she looking forward to it. Look forward to it, brothers and sisters. When you go to bed at night, think about Christ could come tonight. Christ could come tonight. Wouldn't that be something? I go to sleep in West Paducah, wake up in heaven. You talk about a trip. You talk about a trip. My goodness. I'm looking forward to it. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens or the universe by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. I can't even, she said, wonder what that new heaven's going to look like. It sure ain't going to look like West Paducah or Brookport. I'll tell you that right now. We could not begin to imagine the glory. First of all, we could not be to imagine the glory of my Savior, Jesus Christ. We could not imagine the glory of the triune God. Like I said, if a seraphim landed in this place now, we'd all fall on our face and be scared to death to even look up. And yet there, we'll sing a new song. All of us, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power throughout the ages of the ages of the ages.